Does this not show us that what is appearing as the sparrow falling to the ground is nothing more than a misstatement or false sense of some tremendous spiritual fact? Surely it must. The least is as important as the imperishable verity of the infinity of being. All from the rolling of worlds in the most subtle ether to a potato patch in mind. Miscellaneous Writings. Again we are reminded that the infinity of being includes within itself all. Nothing is unimportant, because all is the ego saying, I am that I am. Let us ask, what is the kingdom of heaven? And then Mrs. Eddy answers, the abode of spirit, the realm of the real. No matter is there, no night is there, nothing that worketh or maketh a lie. Is this kingdom afar off? No, it is ever present here. The first to declare against this kingdom is matter. Miscellaneous Writings. But if we keep matter as substance, then Christian Science cannot heal it, and we leave the heaven of spirit's presence and are plunged into hell, the hell of trying to demonstrate over matter. But keeping matter as a misstatement of mind or mortal mind, it can be healed instantly, and this is to experience heaven, the heaven of functioning as mind's infinity. Many cases evade healing because the student has become a matter physician rather than a metaphysician. Then, in order to correct a misstatement, we must translate matter back into mind. It is the language of soul instead of the senses. It translates matter into its original language, which is mind, and gives the spiritual instead of the material significance. Christian Healing. Jesus was tempted to change matter stone into matter bread, but he knew it was the spirit which quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Jesus said to the suggestion, Get thee behind me. He rebuked the personal sense of self and the personal sense that would try to produce a better form of matter. Some believe that dying is a way out of matter. Yet, if matter is a false sense or deflection, then we cannot die out of a mistake. We can only correct it by living. Then does not a lie unwittingly confirms the truth? Of course it does. And by reversal, error serves as waymarks to the one mind. This deflection, rightly viewed, serves to suggest the proper reflection. So we are not dealing with a substance called matter. According to the scientific statement of being, we are dealing with mortal error. Now, the only place mortal error can be corrected is in and as consciousness. The moment the Christ truth is entertained, at that moment the objects of sense yield to the ideas of soul. This is metaphysical practice, is it not? Then, if we translate the negative into the positive, we are experiencing the kingdom of spirit or truth. What is it that seems to keep us from experiencing the kingdom here and now without any time lapse? Is it not that we are accepting the satanic suggestion that we are temporarily involved in personal sense, and that somehow this personal sense is connected with identity? Are we sure that we are willing to live the scientific statement of being? If we are sitting in a rocket and had a button in our hand, and all we had to do was to press it, and immediately there would be no record of personal nature, where personal sense ceased, and where the grandeur and bliss of loving unselfishly and the infinitude of being experienced as conscious identity, where we would never know anyone in personal depict, would we push the button? Or would we say, with the allegory in Miscellaneous Writings, And the stranger saith unto him, Wilt thou climb the mountain, and take nothing of thine own with thee? He answered, I will. Then saith the stranger, Thou hast chosen the good part, follow me. Many there were who had entered the valley to speculate in worldly policy, religion, politics, finance, and to search for wealth and fame. These had heavy baggage of their own, and insisted upon taking all of it with them, which must greatly hinder their ascent. The journey commences. The encumbered travelers halt and disagree. They stoutly delay those who, having less baggage, ascend faster than themselves, and betimes burden them with their own. Despairing of gaining the summit, loaded as they are, they conclude to stop and lay down a few of the heavy weights, but only to take them up again, more than ever determined not to part with their baggage. All this time the stranger is pointing the way, showing them their folly, rebuking their pride, consoling their afflictions, and helping them on, saying, "He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Obstinately holding themselves back, and sore-footed, they fall behind, and lose sight of their guide, when, stumbling and grumbling and fighting each other, they plunge headlong over the jagged rocks. Then he who has no baggage goes back and kindly binds up their wounds, wipes away the bloodstains, and would help them on. But suddenly the stranger shouts, "Let them alone! They must learn from the things they suffer. Make thine own way, and if thou strayest, listen for the mountain horn, and it will call thee back to the path that goeth upward." He alone ascends the hill of Christian Science who follows the way-shower, the spiritual presence and idea of God. Whatever obstructs the way, causes to stumble, fall, or faint, those mortals who are striving to enter the path, divine love will remove, and uplift the fallen, and strengthen the weak. Therefore, give up thy earth weights, and observe the apostle's admonition, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Then, loving God supremely, and thy neighbor as thyself, thou wilt safely bear thy cross up to the throne of everlasting glory. Now, would we push the button? And yet, is this not what the scientific statement of being is demanding of us? To lay our earthly all on the altar of divine science? And does it not burst the bubble of earth? No life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter? And give us the sweet breath of heaven, the infinity of mind as identity? So, willingness to become as a child, no past to repine, no future to dread, no now as temporal. Leaving the old for the new, renders thought receptive of the advanced idea. Sorry, it is too late. We have no choice. The scientific statement of being has pushed the button. We are off. Everything is go, A1, okay. We have arrived. The ascension has taken place. Christian science has exchanged me, for I am alive forevermore, and so I contemplate from my orbital flight from the center and circumference of being, and see the delightfulness of being the morning, the eternal noon, and the everlasting day. Behold, I am the fullness of his appearing. So long as we accept matter as substance, we are looking into the glass darkly, and into the sepulchre, and will cry with Mary, "Where have they laid him?" But looking out from celestial heights, we cry, "Rabboni!" When it is seen that science translates matter into its original language of mind, the scientific statement of being shows us how to live the kingdom here and now. We must see that there is no personality, no objectivity calling itself me, and have no me but God, Spirit, as the all in all. Yes, we can give lip service to this, we can give intellectual assent, but are we willing to push the button and give the go sign? Our textbook has a tremendous statement on page 324, lines 2-4, and it is included in our Bible lesson sermons over and over. Let us read it. Gladness to leave the false landmarks, and joy to see them disappear. This disposition helps to precipitate the ultimate harmony. The hour has struck, when proof and demonstration, instead of opinion and dogma, are summoned to the support of Christianity, making wise the simple? Are we willing to precipitate the ultimate harmony? Mrs. Eddy tells us that Jesus' earthly mission was to translate substance into its original meaning, mind. Mind is all. Then all must be mind, the all in all. We cannot say that mind is all, then even for a moment believe we are dealing with a substance called matter. There is no matter. All is spirit. This is the basis of Christian Science teaching. There is no mind to misstate. Mind, as principle, is unerring in its statement of truth, absolute integrity of statement. No man can serve two masters, Jesus warned, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The infinite is one, and this one is spirit. Spirit is God, and this God is infinite good. This simple statement of oneness is the only possible correct version of Christian Science. God, being infinite, he is the only basis of science. Hence, materiality is wholly apart from Christian Science, and is only a suffer it to be so now until we arrive at the spiritual fullness of God, Spirit, even the divine idea of Christian Science, Christ, born of God, the offspring of Spirit, wherein matter is neither part nor portion, because matter is the absolute opposite of spiritual means, manifestation, and demonstration. The only incentive of a mistaken sense is malicious animal magnetism, the name of all evil, and this must be understood. Spirit is infinite, therefore spirit is all. There is no matter is not only the axiom of true Christian Science, but it is the only basis upon which this science can be demonstrated. Miscellany. When Jesus fed the multitude with the 5 loaves, he did not say there were no loaves there. No, he took the loaves, looked up to heaven and blessed, and broke the loaves. Was this looking up to heaven not another way of saying he translated what he seemed to see into the being just at hand? He refused to accept the misstatement of lack. Looking out with Christ, Jesus saw the abundant being, these eternal verities just at hand. We can do the same, and the reason we do not do it in every line of endeavor is because we still believe we are persons dealing with material objects called loaves and fishes. Jesus took everything back unto the Father. Jesus lived the Christ, knew that matter had no substance. He saw it was simply an imperfect view of the perfect and whole. Only the Christ can give us the right view. Students, let us see that we are not dealing with matter, young or old, blind or seeing, scarce or abundant. We are dealing with a misconception, animal magnetism, hypnotism. Everything must come to us as consciousness. Then we are not dealing with matter-substance. This is the whole of the scientific statement of being. The new tongue is the spiritual meaning as opposed to the material. It is the language of soul instead of sense. It translates matter into its original language, which is mind, and gives the spiritual instead of the material signification. Christian healing. Remember the incident of the sick horse? Mrs. Eddy said, "I do not want any one of you to treat a sick horse, but want all of you to know there is no mind to have such a concept." The sick horse had come to consciousness as concept. It is here, and only here, we do the healing work. It must be healed in and as consciousness. Let us give to mind the glory, honor, dominion, and power everlastingly due its holy name. Because mind is all in all there is to our lives, our world, the movement, the government, the president, is this one mind divinely, incorporeally, supremely, infinitely expressing itself as the all in all. There is and can be nothing else. The law of the scientific statement of being makes us free from the law of sin and death. It lifts us ayant hate's thrall. The prince of this world comes and finds nothing in us. The prince of this world is the acceptance of the evil suggestion that identity was born. And if accepted, the law of sin and death begins to operate in behalf of this false identity. Only Christian Science can release us from this. Is not the scientific statement of being telling us that man was never born? Let us see clearly here today that there is no birth, no beginning of days. There is only day, and spiritual understanding constitutes this day. This is the eternal noonday. Are we admitting that identity was born, or that we gave birth to something? Death is the ultimate of this. We cannot die out of matter, because we were never born into it. Birth has nothing to do with life, or with life's expression, man. With chemistry and math, we have loosed atomic power. Humanly, it is inconceivable what can be done with this power. With the revelation of Christian Science, we have loosed identity from sinning, mortal personality, to the glorious infinitude of eternal, universal mind's own self-expression. No limits in knowing, no restrictions to seeing, no regulations on how much beauty can be felt or experienced, no interference with the all-wiseness of eternal being itself. Man is as the image of God, Spirit, seen to be the fullness, the wholeness, the essence of God in being, knowing, seeing. Man is the infinite manifestation. Man is creation. Man is the grandeur, the universal beauty of holiness. Man is mind's delight. The Father delighted in his beloved Son, saying, "Son, all that I have is thine." The scientific statement of being has loosed us from personality and showed us the individuality that reflects the individuality that is God's. How can we fully realize the basic potentiality inherent in the scientific statement of being? How can we let loose this tremendous power available for the well-being of all? The power of good resident in the divine mind has been freed through Christian Science treatment or prayer, so that this power can be utilized in present experience. It is called the Christ. And this Christ power can move the mountain, still the storm, feed the multitude, raise the dead, transport one from here to there immediately, quicker than any thought process. This Christ power offsets any human misconception. Let us here today feel this divine energy bringing us into newness of life, not life infused into matter, but a released sense of life in God, and life as God. The scriptures declare life to be the infinite I am, not a dweller in matter. For man to know life as it is, namely God, the eternal good, gives him not merely a sense of existence, but an accompanying consciousness of spiritual power that subordinates matter and destroys sin, disease, and death. This Jesus demonstrated in so much that Matthew wrote, "The people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." This spiritual power, healing sin and sickness, was not confined to the first century. It extends to all time, inhabits eternity, and demonstrates life without beginning or end. Atomic action is mind, not matter. It is neither the energy of matter, the result of organization, nor the outcome of life infused into matter. It is infinite spirit, truth, life, defiant of error or matter. Miscellaneous Writings. The story of Christian Science continues with the infinite One that sustains its own self-expression, man, completeness. The Day Star in the preface of Science and Health gives us the clarion call, clear and definite. The human mind is not a factor in Christian Science. All is the operation of divine principle, one divine mind. If we insist upon being persons, knowing that God is mind, and this mind is acting through and by human beings, we will always have a benighted understanding, because there is no science in this viewpoint. In order to experience the Day Star, lighting the way to eternal harmony, the student must yield up the ghost of personal sense and see that there is not a medium, avenue, channel, nor agency through which mind expresses itself. It seems too difficult for some students to see this fact. Are we idea doing things under mind's direction? Or is idea the functioning on the part of indivisible, all-wise mind itself? Here is the point of great departure for all revelation. The Day Star is the Christ knowing that idea, man, is mind's own conscious identity. This is reflection, and brings forth the clarity of Jesus' statement, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." This infinite idea of infinity will be, is, as eternal as its divine principle. The Day Star of this appearance is the light of Christian Science, the science which rends the veil of the flesh from top to bottom. The light of this revelation leaves nothing that is material, neither darkness, doubt, disease, nor death. The material corporeality disappears, and individual spirituality, perfect and eternal, appears, never to disappear. Miscellaneous Writings. In the scientific statement of being, man is forever dealing with, and as, the Father in operation as divine principle. Man, phenomenon, is never dealing with man. Man is always alone with his own being, never alone with another being. It is this aloneness that armed Jesus with mightiness. It is this indivisibility of being, where cause and effect is one, which brings all the mightiness of God-being into operation as one's own experience, brings soul in the fullness of satisfaction, life in all its complete fulfillment, love feeling its own immaculateness, directly and specifically. How can Emmanuel, God with us, as the only I or us, be the scientific fact, unless the oneness of being is seen clearly? In the preface, our beloved leader is leading us gently and firmly into the land of Christian Science. Step by step, this intrepid discoverer shows us that man is the kingdom of God. Man is the land of divine science, the consciousness of reality. It is the Father's good pleasure to give us, the only I or us, the kingdom. Mrs. Eddy took the discovery of Christian Science into the laboratory of spirit and proved Christian Science to be of God, spirit, and not of man. She proved that the revelation was not a person thinking, but the divine principle present and operating as identity itself. Man, mind's idea, is the immediacy of mind's knowing. No lapse of time between the knower and the knowing and the known, because all is infinite mind, immediately, directly, spontaneously knowing. This is the operation of divine principle, before which personal sense loses its reality as identity and disappears as darkness gives place to light. This understanding should make us appear as wise, brilliant, alert, intuitive, immediately knowing all when the pale star with its benighted understanding fades out in the brilliance of the Christ light or Day Star. This comes only by way of humility, knowing no person to think, no personal involvement. It is in this preface that our leader shows us that there is no human to be involved, no finite sense of ego. All is the operation of divine principle, love. All is the one infinite mind operating as the mind of its all in all. Thus the preface gently takes the student into the true realm of prayer, and we then ask, what is scientific prayer? Christ Jesus gives this answer, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, before ye ask him." The purpose of this association today is to show how we can better say to this mountain, Be thou removed. If there is no doubt in prayer to diffuse or adulterate the positive sense of prayer, the mountain of personal sense will remove, because the scientific statement of being, in its first scientific statement that there is no life in matter, removes the obscuring personality as reality, and the light of the ever-present Christ brings the proper focus. What better illustration could we have of the operation of this atomic power of mind through prayer than the experience of Paul and Silas in Acts? This positive power of prayer, this glorification of the God mind, this clear perception of reality, this conviction of being, dispelled the chains, opened the prison doors, and set the captive free. When thought is negative, doubtful, and fearful, it acts as a nullifying agent or counteracting influence, and there is no answer. Whereas joy, assurance, spontaneity, removes the mountain of personal sense, and the atomic power of mind, this all-consuming power of love, leaves nothing unlovely, leaves no trace of anything called hate or fear. This power utilized has been called the descent of the Holy Ghost. The Bible records it as thunder. It is the activity of the universal solvent of love, dissolving the adamant of self-will, self-love, etc. Why should we stand aghast at nothingness? Why should we marvel or think it marvelous? Animal magnetism has been unmasked. Love is the atomic energy that moves all and removes all unlike itself. Whereas the sun is needed for what is called human life, love alone is divine life. To experience the power of love, we must loose ourselves from all unlike Christ. Love is impartial and universal in its adaptation and bestowals. It is the open fount which cries, Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. If we pray to God as a corporeal person, this will prevent us from relinquishing the human doubts and fears which attend such a belief, and so we cannot grasp the wonders wrought by infinite incorporeal love to whom all things are possible, science and health. Without love immediately available, where are we? The scientific statement of being is the unassailable truth immediately available. Unless we have this unassailable something that cannot be changed, varied, which is always dependable and will not yield in any direction no matter how great the seeming pressure, if there is not this unassailable principle present and operating as its own unassailable functioning presence called man, if this principle of the scientific statement of being does not exist, if this truth is not eternally true, then there is no God, no man, no heaven, and we are not even here. But we are here because truth is unassailable. We are here because the scientific statement of being is absolutely dependable. We are here because Christian science is the divine revelation and not personal. It is now that the scientific statement of being is reality. It is that I that is divine saying, I am that I am. Because this one ego is the I of all being. Even the infinitesimal is mind, saying I am. Prayer. The scientific statement of being does not permit a personality called me to mask the divine I am. The scientific statement of being permits only the Christ of God to be experienced as identity in perfect continuity. The scientific statement of being is not a process of becoming, rather it is the being that was, is, and ever shall be, whom nothing can erase. Each is always alone with one's own being. Mary Baker Eddy made a marvelous discovery. She discovered the science of being, that being which is both cause and effect, both father and son, in whom there is no impediment to eternal bliss. No separation, no division, no disruptive sense calling itself man here and cause out there. The discovery of the oneness and allness of being as father-son, cause-effect, ego-God, ego-man, is truly the comforter that should come, because it comforts all with the Christ understanding that now is man the eternal Son of God, or the divine direct self-expression of the mind that is God. What comfort to that which believed itself to be a personal ego trying to run everything from its own egotistical center. Now it finds itself not a personal ego or identity at all, for the ego, which is infinite, has as its self-expression genuine man. And what comfort comes to the sinner to find his true selfhood is never involved with the insanity of sin. And the comforting Christ lifts the sick out of the belief of weakness into the glorious liberty of the Son of God. Truly, the Comforter shall come, and it has come, in the name of the science of being called Christian Science. Science is the impartation of knowledge being available for everyone willing to study and practice. Discerning that the teachings of Jesus had science behind them, Mrs. Eddy subjugated the personal sense of self and prayed for a clearer view, the Christ view. And this view is recorded in the scientific statement of being. The Christian Science movement is founded on the impersonal nature of this Christ science or the Comforter. In writing the textbook, Mrs. Eddy definitely must use English words to state scientific terms. What do we mean by the scientific term prayer? To many,
one thing.
Going in and shutting the door and having audience with the Father. It is not asking. It is not petitioning. It is listening to what the Father is saying. It is the inward voice which said to Moses, I am that I am. It is the Father saying, I am, gently. And in this gentle stillness we experience peace. Be still. The willingness to go in and shut the door on the erring sense, the personal sense of existence, and permitting the Father to say, I am, announce His allness and oneness, completeness and satisfaction, this is true prayer. In the textbook, our leader says, prayer cannot change the science of being. Why? Because true prayer is not changing anything or asking for something. Rather, it is the deep feeling or acknowledgement of being, of reality, and the dismissal of that which seems to be. Mrs. Eddy continues, God is intelligence. Can we inform the infinite mind of anything he does not already comprehend? Do we expect to change perfection? Prayer does not change the seeming into the being. Prayer is deep consecration. It is complete subjugation, the absolute immersion of the personal sense of self into the infinite ocean of love, where the drop, with its sense of restriction, limitation, tension, etc., disappears, and the power and the glory and the dominion, which is the oceans becoming the power and the glory and the dominion of the expression or manifestation, man. The Bible says we pray amiss when we pray for the personal sense of self. Jesus' prayers were deep and conscientious protests of truth, of man's likeness to God, and of man's unity with truth and love. Mrs. Eddy prayed constantly to lose all sight of the personal sense of self. Can we do less? Or do we insist upon praying for more matter, better objectivity? This is praying amiss, and you will fail at the outset. To use the human mind for praying is to pray amiss. The human mind is the problem, and we surely cannot use the problem to find the solution. No, we must go to that mind which knows only present perfection and well-being. It is letting this mind be your mind, which is also the Christ mind. It is permitting the I to go unto the Father and remain with the Father. This is true prayer. Prayer is shutting the door on the first sentence of the scientific statement of being and letting the second sentence be the all in all. This is the way Jesus prayed. Father, give me the glory which was mine before the world was. Make them one, even as we are one. Where do we pray scientifically? We enter into the closet and shut the door, silently to commune with the Father. The torrent of words, the stereotyped borrowed speeches, the gushing theories must yield to the heart and soul of prayer, which is love. When we have shut the door, we are alone with our own being and the reality of things. We are then living the second sentence of the scientific statement of being. Many times during the day, we should have resort to this secret place and have audience with the Father, Mother, all harmonious, and experience the adorableness of oneness. Man is incorporeal consciousness, or the temple of the living God, and in this consciousness, the activity of ideas becomes fruitful. In order to pray aright, we must enter into the closet and shut the door. We must close the lips and silence the material sense. In the quiet sanctuary of earnest longings, we must deny sin, the personal sense of self, and plead God's allness, science and health. Are we scientifically denying sin, the personal sense of ego, and rejoicing in the allness and oneness of being when we pray in the old way? We are not Christian scientists until we leave all for Christ. Then let us pray as the Christ. It is here we are undisturbed by the ills of the flesh. It is in this sanctuary that we do not accept the sense of others. We are alone with our own being, the science of being. It is here that we see our brother as having the face of God, love. It is here we see our brother as the presence of God saying, I am. Here we rejoice in the allness and oneness of being. It is here where being becomes our own divine being. It is here where the Father says, be still, I am all. In prayer, when the answer does not appear quickly, study the chapter on prayer scientifically. See if you are praying with the Christ method or praying amiss. True prayer is thinking no thoughts of your own. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. And which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Christ stills the noisy waters as we sail into the haven of love's allness and oneness. In any problem, immediately see the impossibility of it from the standpoint of the allness and oneness of the divine principle love. If possible, never come into the problem, but see the truth so vividly that the aggressive mental suggestion as the problem is dissolved. At times it is necessary to address the satanic suggestion even as Jesus did. Learning to still the noisy waters is not always easy. the aggressiveness of the suggestion, and the tenacity of the belief that it is me sometimes makes it most difficult to unsee the claim. But it is the refusal to accept the suggestion on its own terms, or to give it a man to fight with, that helps quickly to annul it. Recently the suggestion offered itself that I had cut my finger. Instantly the Christ knowing was, if there is no acceptance, there is no punishment. Remember that the belief is punished so long as the belief lasts. In the German it reads, acceptance is punished so long as acceptance lasts. So the Christ man, or conscious identity, could not accept something contrary to its own being, any more than light could accept darkness. And immediately the hand was put behind the back. It said bleeding, but the knowing was, if there is no acceptance, there is no punishment, and the bleeding would be the punishment of the belief that something had cut itself. It took constancy and immediacy to stand fast, but in a few moments the noisy waters were quieted, and because nothing had accepted the belief, there was no believer. The healing was immediate. When the suggestion offers itself that you have lost your keys, your joy, your job, your health, do you run around looking for it? Or do you see the impossibility of it from the standpoint of the allness of the infinitude of mind, and man as the knowing of this allness and oneness? The certainty of the Christ stops the din suggesting itself, and we can hear the sweet song from heaven. The water has been pacified. As long as thought is knowing the truth to change something, find something, stop something, then it is not Christian Science. Even wanting to be healed, which seems so legitimate, must be hushed. Suggestion offers its specious wares and says, give me another treatment. Pray for me. Now apply what you are hearing here today on me. Say to it, there is no me but God. Christian Science has unmasked this finite personal sense of self called you or me, and leaves only the Christ to be experienced as the song of the scientific statement of being. Say, you, malicious animal magnetism, in the guise of physical personal body, cannot defile the Christliness of being, because the I of my being and all being lives, moves, and has being as the eternal now of perfect being. All is God's expression of himself. You, mental assassin, cannot kill, murder, incapacitate, paralyze, destroy one God-given faculty or function or action through any claim of a natural law. There is no such law. All law is divine law and alone present to act or cause action, the law of perfection, the law of harmony, the law of perfect functioning. Nor can you operate through any claim of heredity. Man has not a single quality underived from deity. Man's disposition is safe in mind, showing forth the essence of mind itself. Nor can you, animal magnetism, operate through the suggestion that this is an effect from some accident in the past. You are a present lie, for there has never been a lapse from nor return to perfection. Man is God's reflection of himself. In this scientific prayer, the only possible I says, be still. The fear is dissolved by the universal solvent of love. Perfect love has cast out fear, and the sweet song is heard. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This prayer is the law to this case and every case, and only the father-mother's adorableness is left to be experienced and felt here and now, directly and specifically. This is the ever-present kingdom enabling us to know thy will of perfection. This prayer has fed the famished affections and leaves only the graciousness of being, where love is reflected in its own loveliness, and the temptation has been annulled, and the song of Christ comes forth in all the kingdom and the power and the glory of being, all in all. Our textbook says, the highest prayer is not one of faith merely. It is demonstration. Demonstration is Emmanuel, or God with us. Again, our textbook says that self-forgetfulness, purity, and affection are constant prayers. Be still and know that I am God. Be still, quiet, calm, poised in the knowing that the I is God. Don't try to use the revelation of Christian Science for some end, some proposition, but be still and know. Stilling the personal sense of self, knowing becomes spontaneous. Reflection is always still. The I am, that is God, maintains his own image and likeness without being reminded of it through prayer. God, principle, unerringly sustains its own self-expression, man. The I, that is love, keeps its self-expression, man, in the state or condition of loveliness and lovableness. The I, that is eternal life, identifies its own sustaining infinite in eternal perfection, well-being, and unbroken freedom. Pure soul satisfies its own self-expression of being, man. Man is the presence of God's being. Why do we seem so reluctant to yield up this ghost of personal sense for the mind that is unerring in its directness? Why should it be so difficult to yield up this personal sense of mind with its variableness, its erring nature, fearful, transitory thoughts, its doubtful and negative sense for the mind which knows only perfect being? Is it because we have not seen the awfulness of the human mind, its enmity to God, its murdering thievery? Jesus surely looked into it and saw its illusory nature. He lifted the curtain from its birth to its death and said it was a liar and the father of its own lies. Then Mrs. Eddy could write later in Retrospection and Introspection, "Into mortal mind's material obliquity I gazed, and stood abashed. Blanched was the cheek of pride. My heart bent low before the omnipotence of spirit, and a tint of humility, soft as the heart of a moonbeam, mantled the earth. Bethlehem and Bethany, Gethsemane and Calvary, spoke to my chastened sense as by the tearful lips of a babe. Frozen fountains were unsealed. Erudite systems of philosophy and religion melted, for love unveiled the healing promise and potency of a present spiritual afflatus. It was the gospel of healing on its divinely appointed human mission, bearing on its white wings, to my apprehension, the beauty of holiness, even the possibilities of spiritual insight, knowledge, and being. Let us be willing to bury this false sense of self today, here and now, and let us have the baptism, purification by spirit, submergence in spirit, science and health. Then we can say the personal sense is dead. Long live the Christ." Being still in the scientific statement of being would surely mean resting in, abiding in the Sabbath day in which no thinking, no reasoning is permitted. We should have frequent Sabbaths. Are we willing to accept without any mental reservations that our present mind is the Christ mind? Do we go along in the old belief of knowing that God is mind and thinking man is the reflector of this mind? Do we remember what was said on reflection last year? Let us read some of it again. "It is only the personal sense of self which insists on being a reflector. Yes, we hear it said that God is divine mind, and I am reflecting this mind." Is this true? What is the I that is reflecting the divine mind? Mind reflects itself, and this reflection is termed man. Have I been so long time with you, and you have not seen the Father yet? There is no wall of partition where the Father begins and where man ceases, or where man begins and the Father ceases. Let your center go from self-centeredness to God-centeredness. Then we will have both the center and circumference. A great preacher once said in the ways of praying, "With every breath I am breathing the breath of God." This seems so humble. But Mrs. Eddy writes of deep drawn breaths fresh from God. Man is this deep drawn breath. Man is not separated from I am. I am saying I am is the beloved Son. Paul said, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Christian Science says, I do not know in part, but I am the fullness of mind in manifestation, the functioning presence of mind. Jesus warned us to go in and shut the door. What does this mean by shutting the door on the first sentence of the scientific statement of being and opening it wide to the great light that all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation? Acquaint now thyself with God as the only mind and be at peace. So the scientific statement of being gives us prayer as acknowledgement. There is no personal man to pray, only the I that is God, being its own infinity of presence and power. Unless the scientific statement of being is seen, we have faith science instead of Christ science. Faith science is robbing our churches of its vitality. Faith science seems to work to save in our early days of study. But then comes some problem, and it is not solved through faith. Then the real student digs deeper and finds spiritual understanding to be his own conscious identity. But unless the scientific statement of being is recognized as one's own identity, we are building on the sand, and the storms will shake our building, and great is the fall. This statement of true being does not permit a finite mind or finite you to arrogantly array itself against the infinite. It was not until Mary Baker Eddy gave us this statement of being that we could understand the biblical statement, I am that I am. It is God, mind, revealing himself as the great and only I am. The unillumined human mind has no comprehension of this statement. Only a deep and lasting feeling of humility permits the student to let the I go unto the Father and remain there. Only true humility permits us to feel the depth and might of this statement. In miscellaneous writings, Mrs. Eddy tells us, the five personal senses that grasp neither the meaning nor the magnitude of self-abnegation may lose sight thereof, but science voices unselfish love, unfolds infinite good, leads on irresistible forces, and will finally show the fruits of love. Human reason is inaccurate, and the scope of the senses is inadequate to grasp the word of truth and teach the eternal. And from the same book, the scientific sense of being, which establishes harmony, enters into no compromise with fitness or feebleness. The scientific statement of being does not permit a compromise. The satanic suggestion that one is finite or that consciousness is identified with finiteness must be dispelled. This dispelling of personal sense and the coming of the Christ man is quickened and clarified through prayer. Be still and know. Marriage. Now, with the true sense of prayer and atonement, we are ready to experience the marriage feast. Bring on the wine. In the glossary we read, wine, inspiration, understanding. We can drink all of this wine. Then let the bride appear, the purity of our being, the innocency that God, divine principle, creates in man, his own spiritual idea. Let the marriage be made in heaven, male and female, one, womanhood and manhood, one, bride and bridegroom, one. In this eternal oneness, there is no impediment to eternal bliss. Keep your marriage in heaven. Never permit it to leave heaven for earth and have two beings trying to demonstrate oneness. If you permit your marriage to fall to earth, you will experience animal magnetism, and every belief of malpractice concerning that marriage will show itself in your experience. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Principle and idea is one. This is the marriage for eternity. This marriage is before Abraham. This is the marriage feast, love wedded to its own spiritual idea. Let no man put it asunder. Marriage, as it is humanly known, is a concession. It is a sufferer to be so now. After we become students of Christian Science, we must take the marriage from earth and put it back in heaven. It is most important to see principle and its idea one and ratified for all eternity. In this true sense of marriage, we are always alone with our own being, not trying to adjust or readjust, not acting or reacting. This Christ understanding does not have us ignore what appears as husband or wife, but rather draws us nearer and nearer. True sense of husband, true sense of wife. All are blessed in this true understanding. Never let suggestion put a wall between husband and wife. By suggesting that one is spiritually beyond another, or that one knows the truth better than the other, or perhaps doesn't know the truth at all. If you put up this partition, the marriage will fall apart. You may blame it on the other one, but remember, are you not the one putting up the wall the moment you have another? See that the wall is a belief that there is another. What appears to another is really not another at all. It is the way the Father is appearing. It is the way life is exhibiting itself. It is the way mind is manifesting its intelligence. Marriage is your recognition of spiritual completeness. This Christ understanding may appear as one expressing both male and female qualities in such balance that there is no outward show called marriage. Or it may appear in the language of today. But be sure that you never malpractice by believing there are two. What is called another is not the medium for happiness. Your textbook says, happiness is spiritual, born of truth and love. Husband or wife is not the medium through which heaven comes to earth. Remember, husband or wife is not a medium for hell either.